All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Kind of just wanted to let the beginning of this kick in. Let that play a little bit. All right. I just noticed that my guest is on the line. I want to welcome Mr. James Harden to the listening audience. Good morning to you, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Earl. It's an honor to be with you today. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. It's an honor to have you on. Let's talk a little bit about Mr. James Harden. Who is James Harden? You're not the star basketball player, are you?
No, I had the name before he did. I'm older than him.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about James Harden.
Yeah, so I'm the CEO. First of all, I'm a Christian, and I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who James Harden is here. And I'm the CEO of Compass Care Pregnancy Services, and we are firebound. We have multiple offices across New York. We have pro-life medical facilities. And this pro-abortion terrorist group, known as Jane's Revenge, which
sir, I have to get you to hold. You prefaced the fact that you are a Christian first, and
yeah,
and you wanted to make sure that people were aware of that, and then you talked about having an abortion clinic. So there are people who will probably ask how you reconcile one with the other.
Well, we have a pro-life medical clinic. It's where we don't provide or refer for abortions, and we're being attacked because I believe because of our beliefs. Jane's Revenge is a pro-abortion terrorist group that wants to shut us down. They said shut down in 30 days or face the consequences. They don't want us continuing to act on our pro-life beliefs.
Okay.
So we're not pro-abortion. We're pro-life.
Okay.
And
it's not a abortion clinic that you have.
No, sir.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. My mistake.
It is a little confusing because this is unique in the history of America and in the history of this abortion problem in America. These violent attacks against pro-life people and organizations started with the leak of the Dobbs case, and this organization, this pro-abortion terrorist group, Jane's Revenge. And so there have been over 100 attacks so far, and no arrests that we're aware of anywhere in the country. Our facility was literally firebombed by Molotov cocktails. We have a lot of evidence about the perpetrators, and law enforcement refuses to even call it arson. And the only law enforcement agency that said anything about it was yesterday, anywhere in the country. And the Amherst police in outer ring suburb of Buffalo basically said, we're following all the leads we can, and if the public has any input, please let us know. It's been this is day 56, no arrests.
So let me ask you, over the decades that Roe versus Wade had come into being, aren't there abortion, clinics that have been firebombed as well?
Yes, apparently there have been abortion clinics that have been bombed in the past. I don't know if it's in the recent past, but compare what the law enforcement did against the people that perpetrated those crimes. They caught them. There were manhunts going on, and they caught them. And there is definitely not the same fervor here. It almost seems like law enforcement has been politicized. And the FBI is slow walking this thing. I don't know why there's not a global manhunt. We've got a domestic terrorist group.
A global manhunt. So why would your offices be firebombed in your estimation?
That's a good question. I think the answer is because on June 24th, with the release of the Dobbs case overturning Roe versus Wade, the billion-dollar abortion empire had to change overnight. It would be similar to what would happen if the government went to the Ford Motor Company and said, hey, you can't have dealerships in 30 states tomorrow. That's the kind of existential threat to the corporate structure of the abortion industry that they're facing right now. And they're having to change their business model to this hub and spoke plan, where we're going to encouraging women to travel from conservative states to places like New York and California and Illinois to get their abortions. And New York Governor Hochul and California Governor Newsom want to pay for the travel expenses and the abortions for women traveling here. And if they don't travel here, they want to send them dangerous chemical abortion drugs to them in the mail.
So would it be safe to say that you think that this is an organized effort, the attack that took place on your offices from the pro-choice society? Or was it just some individual? I mean, there's a big difference.
There's a big difference, but the nature of terrorist groups is that they're decentralized and that they claim to have cell groups across various geography. And that's exactly what we have here. And they foment concerted efforts in these decentralized ways in their various cell groups. And that's what we've seen happening with Jane's Revenge. And so let me just review a couple of things that happened. So we started seeing this kind of activity happening to our Buffalo Center before we were firebombed, and we reported it to the local police and the FBI 2 weeks ahead of time. Then they actually firebombed us. And then they took responsibility for it 2 days later, saying, next time, if you don't close, if you don't shut down, next time, it's not going to be so easily cleaned up as fire and graffiti. And they claimed open season. Those are their words, open season on pregnancy centers. And then New York Governor Hochul came out 6 days after the firebombing, and instead of investigating the arson attack, she signed a bill to investigate the victims, us. And while she was at the press conference signing this bill, she called us Neanderthals. And then a couple days after that, New York Attorney General Letitia James comes out and signs an open letter to Google demanding that they wipe us off the map so that women can't find us. And this is an all-out attack on people, pro-life prisoners that are just simply trying to help women in their hour of crisis.
So I'm really trying to understand why somebody would firebomb your offices because all you want to do is have a conversation with women on why they should go through with their pregnancies. Why would somebody go to that extent? To what kind of threats would you be that somebody would then, and you refer to these people as terrorists, because you were trying to have a conversation with someone to go through with their pregnancy? I don't understand the correlation between, you know, firebombing somebody who's just having that kind of a conversation.
I know. I'm trying to understand it too. It makes no sense. Well, so here's the thing: sin never makes any sense. But I think that what we see happening here is the fact that there's the only competition the abortion industry has right now are these pregnancy centers, these pregnancy resource centers.
So what happens in the pregnancy resource center for those of us who aren't aware? Walk us through that.
Sure. Yeah. What we do is we provide baseline medical care, ethical medical care, for free, by the way, to women who are facing unplanned pregnancies, and many of which are considering abortion.
So what's ethical? What's ethical? Because you threw the term ethical in. I know what it means, but what is that?
Yeah, I really appreciate this interview because not many people ask these questions. What I mean by ethical goes back to the Hippocratic Oath. It's the oath that doctors would take before they would start practicing medicine independently. And what I mean by ethical, so the original Hippocratic Oath said this. There's a phrase in saying this: I will not give a woman an abortive remedy. And what that basically means, I mean, why would the Hippocratic Oath, the oath that all doctors would take, put that particular thing in their oath? And it's because the purpose of medicine is to heal and to maintain the health of the patient. And when you're serving a pregnant woman, you're serving two patients, and it does neither one of those two things for either the woman or the baby. And so what abortion represents is death, and it's the original medical quackery. So our job is to leverage medical technology to help and to preserve all life, because The Bible says basically that we're all made in the image of God and deserving of blessing and protection from the womb to the tomb without qualification, without partiality. And the government's job is to protect all people, which is why I was so excited when the Dobbs case came out reversing Roe versus Wade. Because the original Roe versus Wade said the word person, quote unquote, the word person does not apply to the unborn. But then Dobbs came out and they said the Roe decision was egregiously wrong, specifically on that point. Personhood. As soon as we start parsing out who qualifies as a person, who doesn't qualify as a person, that's the foundation for systemic injustice.
So, but again, this debate that took place long before the Dobbs decision, it stated that, you know, when fetus, when this became a human life. And so to now come back 50 years later and say, well, that was a mistake. Mm-hmm. People can say that was a mistake based on the opinions of some people today. But they can they unilaterally across the board say that this is when life starts? Do they have, what is the determining factor that's different today than it was 50 years ago, other than Republicans are in control of the Supreme Court?
Well, I think that the decision in 1973 was arbitrary. The determination of when human life
isn't it arbitrary today? The change in this is also arbitrary. That can be. Well, go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's a good question. I think what they're saying is that human beings shouldn't get to decide who qualifies as a human and who doesn't qualify as a human. Because a child in the womb is fully and equally human, just, you know, on the spectrum of maturity.
So science, really young. Science doesn't play a role in any of this?
Science doesn't say why. Science just tells us what. And science does tell us that human life begins at the moment of fertilization.
So
it's a unique human life with its own DNA, and that DNA controls the maturation process of that human being from that moment on through death. And so that person is a person fully and equally human, just young.
You know, James, Mr. Hardin, I'm really glad that you have agreed to have this conversation with myself and the listening audience. Tom, I see you in L.A. We'll come back to you and give you an opportunity to have a conversation with Mr. Hardin. Phone lines are open, as always, at 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.